I want you to observe the words from and of. The Greek words for both of these words, from and of, is the same. That's the word for from and of. You're going to see that this is very significant in what God is doing and what he has been doing for the ages. Now, Jesus uses this phrase. He says, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. You are of this world. This means from and of. From above, Jesus is saying of this world. The phrase that he's using, if you just speak it in Greek, it is ek tou kosmos. Of this world. We know that cosmos, we know that cosmos is the world. It is the world. Now he says, either of this world or from out of this world. He's saying your place of origin is beneath. My place of origin is above. You know what origin is? It's the beginning of something. So the question is not, as we are called to live on this earth, the question, and this is something that you really have to allow the Holy Spirit to seep into your spirit. Because so often when we're having discussions, we like to choose sides. We like to say who's right, who's wrong. We like to say something is good or bad. And we settle for that. We even say what's rich or what's poor. And we settle for that. But the real question is, what is the origin? Family dispute. Who's right? Who's wrong? No. What is the origin? See, we can solve a lot more problems if we understand what is the origin of the situation. Huh. Sometimes you go to a medical doctor and he can only give you answers because of what you're telling him or because of the symptoms that you have. I'm aware of the symptoms. Don't give me medicine for symptoms. Give me medicine for the origin. I want to know, where did this start? I'm coughing. Why am I coughing? Don't use the coughing as the base of your starting point. Use what caused the cough. Lord, y'all don't hear me. I need to know the beginning of where this started in me. You have a temper? What is the origin? If you have a temper, you don't necessarily have to say, it started with me. I need to check your background. That means I got to check your daddy. Your mama got a temper. Lord, y'all going to pray with me today. I don't know if your mama's mama had a temper. But what we want to know is, where did it come from? Where is the origin of it? So we need to get out of the you right and I'm wrong. We need to know who started it. See? What is your origin? Where does your behavior originate? Because origin determines everything. If we can just find out where it started, just a little CSI, I guess, and maybe the FBI could find out a few things and stop trying to hide stuff. We're in a country now where the FBI trying to hide stuff. They found an attaché case on a train in Washington, D.C. yesterday morning. The CIA left it, and it has all kinds of information in it. What kind of individual would you hire to take something as important as personal information that's private and leave it on a train? They're going to ask the question, where did it originate? What is your problem? That information might have your information on it. Huh? It might have something concerning your life on it. But it's on a train, riding by itself, for somebody to pick up. And they said, well, it can't be open except you have the equipment, the qualifications, and the education. You got so many educated folk out here that are with these high-tech mindsets that would open that briefcase in a matter of moments like it's nothing. So I guess when they said it would take a qualified person to open it, they were just trying to ease our attention. I want you to understand now that what I'm speaking on is a system that Jesus is telling us that we're in, but not of. Need to know the origin. Mm-hmm. Let's see what John 3 and 6 says. Let's go here. John 3 and 6. Mm-hmm. See, we need to know our origin. Now listen to what Jesus said concerning that. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Origin determines everything. And you asked again the question, where does your behavior originate? See, there are some things in your life that you do, and you do them, and you don't know why you do them. And everyone in here knows their behavior patterns. I say it like this. Everybody in here has something that they know ticks them off. Oh, you can act private about it all you want to. I don't care if you don't look like you have that problem. It matters not to me. I know you have it. Looking at me like they don't have a problem. Looking at me like I never experienced that. Looking at me like I never been through anything. You ought to stop that in church. You got some behavior patterns that you know. You got some behavior patterns that make you sick. You get in the bathroom and talk to yourself. Lord, help me with myself. Lord, help me not to do that no more. Lord, help me. Lord, help me, Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody here need help. Amen. So sometimes it takes certain people. Sometimes it takes certain situations just to peak us. You can be good all week long. And you, here you are on Saturday. On Saturday, you think you done made it through the week. You done did all right. I'm all right. I passed the test this week. I didn't have any failures. I didn't have any setbacks. I didn't fall down. I didn't bump my head. And then here it is Saturday, the night before Sunday. And somebody push your button. There you go. You done blew Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. All in one night. Because here you are trying to be perfect. Let me tell you something. As long as you work on being perfect, you'll never get there. You are locked into a system that if you try to do it yourself, the system will assist you. Oh, the system gonna help you out. We'll find out a little bit more as we read the scriptures, but the system will back you up. See what Jesus says about it. Jesus is serious, and he wants us to understand some things. In John 15, Jesus said, "You are not of this world." He said, "I chose you out." And when Jesus chose to call a people out of the world, he used ek. That's what he used when he decided to call us out. He used that word ek. Now, when he used the word ek, it was just the beginning of what was brand new in the earth. Ecclesia. It means called out ones. Ecclesia. The word ek that he used when he said you are of and I am from. He used the word ek. And ek is just the beginning of ecclesia. Ecclesia is the church. It's the called out ones. He who is called. Now, we need to understand what that is. The call. What is the call? Not just a call. Because no call from God is just a call. He calls us out. This is something that we need to gravitate to. And we understand that when God calls you, he's not just calling you because your name sounds good. Or he's not just calling you because he wants you. He's calling you because he's calling you out of something. Lord, help me talk. He's calling everybody out of something. See, first of all, he's calling us out of a system. A system that dictates to you. A system that has you in its Rolodex. Knows everything about you. Knows your needs. Knows your pains. Knows your weaknesses. And this system is a system that is designed to be run by satanic forces. Amen. Some of y'all might not catch this. And I pray to God that by revelation, God will speak this to you. But when you get called out of the world system, you're being called out of a satanic grasp. You're being called out of a hole that Satan has on you. That's why we talk against the world system as we do, because the world system is not designed to support you. If it's designed for anything, it's designed to woo you from Christ. You might look at me and say, well, the world is not a bad place. It don't seem to be that bad to me. I'm not saying the world itself is. I said that the system that runs the world, satanic. And you're in a grasp of satanic forces. That's why God calls. And when God calls, God gets. Amen. God, Lord have mercy. You hear that? God calls. What God wants, he gets it. Yeah, he God. When he calls them, he gets what he wants. This is not a secondhand God we're talking about. This is not Pharaoh. This is God Almighty. When he calls for something, he gets what he wants. And so when he calls you, you might say, he called me to be there. No, he called you. It's not, you don't be until you become something in him. And that's why we get the cart in front of the horse sometimes, because sometimes we get called, we get saved, we get called, we think that because he called me to do something. But God never calls anybody to do anything first. He calls everybody to be something first. If any man be in Christ, good God from Zion, he calls you to be something first. And that's where we mess up, because we're trying to do before we become. You have to become before you do. You have to learn how to rightly divide the scriptures so that you can become, glory to God, what God wants you to be. You have to learn. You have to be patient. You have to learn how to sit and wait for God to do something in you to let you know that something in you is recognizable by him as being him. You have to know that you have God in you and recognize that God is in you. That you are becoming somebody who you never were. When you become or begin to become, then God will call you to do. Oh, if you're obedient, you be obedient. If you be willing and obedient, is that what the word says?
That's what it says.
If you be willing and obedient, then you shall eat the fat of the land. He didn't say if you do. Say, if you be. Scripture tells us to be diligent. Be. Be steadfast. Unmovable. Be. Don't say do. Be. We get in a tizzy because we try to do before we become. Then when we fall, we blame God. We can't blame anybody. What sheep that's going astray? How can a sheep that's going astray blame somebody for their unawareness? And the only reason we're unaware is because we don't spend any time searching the scripture. Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. Means I'm looking in the Bible. I'm looking for something. I'm looking for things that will change me. I'm expecting this word to change me. I got to get out of myself, because if I get out of myself, I'm getting out of the system. We've been talking these last 2-3 weeks on practical things, how we can move from the old nature into the new nature. What must we do to do the works of God? And they've been practical lessons. This is a practical message. He calls us out of a system. Once he calls us out of a system and we adhere to his voice, then he calls us out of our personal problems. He calls us out of trouble. He calls us out of stupor. He calls us out of laziness. He calls us out of mess. He calls us out of peril. He calls us out of dilemmas. He calls us out of religion. I never knew that religion plays such a large role in the world until I began to cut on some of these Christian broadcasts. Wow. Religion is permeating the earth that we live. And I want to say to you that religion is one of the last time enemies to the church. The spirit of religion is what will attack the church in the end times. There is a spirit of religion. There is a spirit of division. And when John spoke this, he said that there are antichrists. And he said there are antichrists even in this earth now. Now, that means that there are spirits that move on nations that cause them to behave in certain ways. That spirit is connected to the system. And if you will look carefully around you, if you would just look around you, you'll find that the spirit of division is everywhere. We have a serious problem in this nation with leadership. Leadership in the church, leadership in the White House, leadership in the public school system, leadership in the police department, leadership in the FBI, leadership in the CIA, everywhere, leadership, 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 failing and faltering. Because the spirits of the last time are being released. The Antichrist is here. And what they're doing is setting the stage for the Antichrist himself. Setting the stage for the Antichrist himself. The people are going to be so hungry for true leadership. See, that's what's happening. He's breaking down leadership so that there are no true leaders, not even in the church. He's breaking down the leadership of a world system so that the people of the world can get so hungry for true leadership. The Bible says in Daniel that the Antichrist will arise. Arise speaks of him just slipping right in place. He's going to be ready because people are going to love him. He's going to have all of the characteristics of a perfect man. The wisdom of Winston Churchill. The speech of John F. Kennedy. The heart of Roosevelt. So many what we consider to be right people. He's going to be all that in one person. But a devil. But a devil. And people are going to be so hungry that they're going to love him. And so the stage is being set. Now, division, just like leadership, falling apart. This nation right now is split down the middle. Division. Division in political parties. Division in religious circles. Division among colors, black and white. Division among men and women. Division among parents and children. It's being marked right down the middle. The Antichrist in the system is setting the stage. See, now you see it, don't you? Yeah, you see it. It's division everywhere. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came with a sword. I came to set mother against daughter, son against father. The gospel will separate you. And it's a separation to make up your mind. It calls you to make up your mind what side you're going to stand on. Because what Jesus has come to do is deeper than your blood relationships. It's deeper. It's deeper. He wants total allegiance. He don't want you to love him part-time. Say you love me sometime. He's either nothing or that or nothing at all. It's like telling Jesus, come in the house, but don't go in my living room. You can go in the other house, all the room you want, but stay out the living room. That's why I keep my Jack Daniels. That's why I keep my dirty DVDs. That's why I watch bad TV. That's why I listen to all the cussing I want. I'll take you other places because they don't do that in my kitchen. I dare say, if you just say, how many people in this house, if you went home today, don't do nothing, would let Jesus just walk through it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because most of us will echo that. None of us will feel good about Jesus walking through our house, making a list, checking it twice. Finding out who's been naughty or nice. We wouldn't. Huh? Come on now. See? Jesus has a way of knowing things. He knows things before we tell him. So it wouldn't be anything that, I don't care how you got it hidden. It wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter what you got it behind. That doesn't mean nothing to Jesus. He sees everything. Although all that stuff is covered up, Jesus sees everything as if it's out in the open. It matters not to him. You can't hide nothing. Now, if you can't even hide it in your mind, how you going to hide it in your house? You can't even hide it in your mind. So, no call from God is just a call. He calls us out. And he calls us out of one world to live a spiritual life while physically still being present in the natural. See, even though he called you out spiritually, in the natural, he still expects us to live in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some people say, well, how can I be other world but in the world but not of it? This is the way he called you, called out. Jesus said, in it, not of it. You got to still be present in the natural. We've been called out of a satanic system. Listen to this dual standard of God. As we are called out, we are called ecclesia, the church. As we are called out, listen now, you got to pay attention. As we're called out, we are called ecclesia, the church. But as we are in this world, we're called the body of Christ. Church represents our calling out of a system. Body of Christ represents our connection in heaven. Lord have mercy. That means that though we're called out as a church, we've been given Christ to live in the system. In it, not of it. You're in it, but you have something on the inside of you that's not of it. Glory to God. You have Christ in you. We have Christ in us. Christ is a barrier to ward off the world system from taking advantage of us. When we understand that we have Christ as a barrier and we can resist the world system, that means that the world system doesn't have the power to hold onto you like it used to. I said earlier that the world system can do some things to you. It can manipulate you, hold on tight to you. But as we're called out as the church, we have a power that Paul calls the hope of glory abiding on the inside of us that gives us some resistance and some resiliency, some buoyancy. When you have Christ, there are certain things that the world will throw at you that will not hurt you. You have to be aware of this. You have to know this in your spirit that I have Christ dwelling on the inside of me. And I don't care what they throw. I got Christ. Once you stop depending on yourself, that's what the world system wants us to do. That's why the gospel of Jesus Christ has not been working for us. It's because we've been siding with the world system and imagining that we can get things accomplished on our own. And we don't need Jesus for everything. But I want to tell you something. If he called me out and called me into something else, then I'm going to have to depend on him for what he called me to. I got to depend on Jesus. It shows me how strong the world system is. Let me show you how strong it is. It loves you as long as you do what pleases it. Mm-hmm. As long as you do what pleases, we'll get there. What we have is the ability to have and be the expression of Christ in the earth. That's what we are. We have a heaven connection, and we are the expression of Christ in the earth. Amazingly, we have an element of heaven in our being. An element of heaven. Christ in you. See, we can run this on tape all day long, but if you don't get this thing by revelation, it's just words. It's just words. It's just you trying by the world system, trying to initiate Christ in you when he's already there. So you got to know by faith that he's already there. I have Christ. If you have to practice it every day of your life, I have Christ in me. In every situation that you're faced with, I have Christ in me. I'm tempted, but I have Christ in me. I'm being wooed by the devil, but I have Christ in me. Somebody's pushing me and pushing me on my feet, trying to make me lose my temper, but I got Christ in me. My job is pushing me to the level I'm about to quit. Christ is in me. I'm about to blow it. I'm about to lose it. I'm in the store and I'm about to lose it. But Christ. See, you have to remind yourself constantly that it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Once you continue to remind yourself, your faith will increase and you'll have Christ in you by faith. When you start moving by faith, the Christ in you will begin to show itself. In every situation, you'll begin to see him. You'll begin to see him. He'll show up. Now, I'll show you something. Paul says something in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Some things he says are a little difficult, but we can handle it. We can handle it. We can handle it. Hallelujah. See, I always wrestle with this. When Jesus would say things like, the world hated me, it's going to hate you. I had to wrestle with that because I didn't get it by revelation. But thanks be to God, revelation came. All you have to do is wait on it. It'll show up. If you wait on God to say something, it might take you 3 or 4 years sometime. But it will speak. Now listen to 1 Corinthians 1. There are some things that God wants to introduce us to or uncover to us that are just mind-blowing. Listen to this. Let's start in verse 26 because it's better when we get it all. For consider your calling. Listen to Paul now. For consider your calling, brethren. He's not talking to outsiders. He's talking to the called out ones. That there were not many wise according to the flesh. Not many mighty. Not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised. God has chosen the things that are not, good God Almighty. God has chosen the things that are not that he might nullify the things that are. That no man should boast before God. But listen to this. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. When we have Christ, this is the revelation too. We have it all. When we have Christ, we have it all. Because all is in Christ. He lacks nothing. And if he lacks nothing and I'm in him, we lack nothing. Come on now. Not only do we have all that's in him, we've been placed in him. That's why Paul can say, I'm crucified with Christ. With Christ. Not after, with. That means, listen, beloved, everybody in here, when Christ was crucified, you were crucified with him. And if you're going to rule with him, reign with him, You have to experience some of the things that will qualify you to do that. But that does not mean just because you have to go through things that it cuts short your rule or reign, that it cuts short your crucifixion. It means that's already been done. I said something this morning, increments. See, a lot of times we think that we get things in increments. And sometimes we do. When you say that you're in Christ, there's still some things that have to be worked in us. You might say, I got this habit. I love Jesus. I still love the Lord. I'm going to church. I'm being faithful. I honor the brethren. I do all the things I need to do, but I got a habit. Increment. God is faithful. He will not suffer a man to be tempted above that which he is able. But what God will do will make a way of escape so that that thing that might be hindering you, God gonna open the door for you to lose it. Amen. God Almighty. But you're gonna have to have the wherewithal and the insight to know that the door is open. Time to be free. Amen. You got to be aware. You got to be more aware of Christ than you are of your habit. This is good teaching here. You got to be more aware of Christ than of your habit so that when God opens the door, you can lose the habit and gain Christ. That's what God will do. He's not going to let you be a slave to sin after he's called you out. He called us out of sin. Called you out. And see, you got to understand that nothing on earth corresponds to what we have from heaven. Nothing. Nothing from earth corresponds to anything you receive from heaven. The world system can't even identify what you have on the inside of you. Has no conversation with it. Doesn't understand it. And that what stirs it to hate you. I share with my wife this morning as I receive this revelation. See, Jesus said the world gonna hate you. Hated me. When he said that, he's talking about your divine nature. You gotta understand who's talking. This is not Paul talking. This is Jesus. They hated Jesus because he was Jesus. Now you got his nature in you. That's what they hate. The world system is designed to recognize that. The world system, which is run satanically, understands and recognizes Jesus. That's why when Jesus walked off that boat and walked on the shore with that man of the Gadarenes, the first thing he said was, "Oh Lord," and went down on his knee. He was filled with demons, but they recognized Jesus. Soon as he stepped off the boat, the word, the Bible says when the word comes, Satan cometh immediately. When Jesus stepped off that boat on the Isle of the Gadarenes, the first thing that demon did was ran down and said, "Oh Jesus, did you come to get rid of us before the time?" They know the end time is coming. They say, "Are you come to get rid of us before the time?" Demons recognize him. See, this is a system that's run by demons. I know y'all, that's a hard pill to swallow. Because some of us live in nice homes and we don't have no problems at all. And we go to work and we work for nice people. And I can buy my food anywhere I want. I can go to any grocery store. I can buy any car, drive anything I want without hindrance. But you're driving in a system that's satanically dominated. You don't believe that? Adam gave it up. Satan, when he stood before Jesus to try to get Jesus to bow down and worship him, he took him up on a high pinnacle and showed him the nations of the world and said, "If you bow down to me, all of these will be yours." He wasn't lying, even though he's a liar. He had the proof. The Bible says he showed Jesus all the nations of the world. And he said, if you would but bow down before me, all this would be yours. This is a satanic system that we're living in. That's why we should be running to Jesus. Running to try to do what he's called us to do, called to be, called out. We should be running behind Jesus and thanking him for taking us out. So many people are not aware of this. They think this is such a beautiful place. Yeah. This is what the world will do. This is what I share with my wife. The world will applaud you. It'll applaud your fruit. How about that? The world will applaud your good efforts. It'll pat you on your back when you do something right in their sight. If the world sees that you're feeding the hungry, they'll jump on the bandwagon and help you because they enjoy your fruit. They will applaud your good behavior. If you're behaving nicely and kindly towards them, you don't lose it like one of their cohorts. Because the world hates you. This is what the world does. It loves your fruit. It loves your Christianity. Well, I'd say it this way. It loves your Christian fruit or your Christian behavior. It can't stand your divine nature. When he said the world hates you, he's talking about the him in us. That's what the world hates. Have you ever been nice with somebody until you brought up Jesus? My, how things change. All you have to do, you can be nice if you want to be. You can be the leading scorer on the football team or the basketball team. Everybody loves your fruit. You could be the mayor or the governor, and you could have a fruitful life. Everything that you do seem to bear fruit. But bring up Jesus. The atmosphere changes. The atmosphere changes simply because, see, you got to understand this. It changes because it's a satanically forced system that you're in. And Satan recognizes the divine nature. That's what gets him upset. I hate Jesus. That's why you see Jesus getting kicked out of everything here. No prayer in school. Nothing that resembles Jesus. No prayer in school. They don't tell anybody else. They don't tell anybody to shut down their religion except Christ. That's the only one they say, shut it down. Shut that Jesus message down. Shut that praying down. Shut that down. We don't want that. The whole world is like that. Everybody can say what they want except Jesus. You can't even, you know, when they take the military and kick the chaplains out. The chaplains that are praying for the wounded, praying for those who are in dangerous waters, praying for those who are in dangerous lands. And because they say at the end of their prayer, in the name of Jesus, they call a meeting and say, kick them out. Throw them out of there. And it's a system that's trying to infiltrate every area of this world. We don't want Boy Scouts if they don't let homosexuals in it. But what's the use of having to call Boy Scouts? Young Christian Men of America. That's why. YMCA. Or whatever. Young Men Christian. But it's in there. We don't want that. That, they're not attacking the organization. They're attacking the name of Christ. Young Women, YWCA, Young Women Christian Association. We don't like that Christ. Tim Tebow can throw a football. We applaud his efforts. We love Tim Tebow the way he's a winner. He always been a winner. But when he got on TV and told him that for Christ he lives and for Christ I die, they said, kill him. Don't give him a job nowhere. We're not going to let him play. We're going to put him on the furthest end of the bench. Because he has a divine nature on the inside. The system hates the nature. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's a spirit. The battle is a spiritual battle. It's spiritual warfare. If you only knew how the cards are stacked against Christ in you. You all right on your job. They like you. They like you. They like you. You all right. You're a good employee. You come to work early. You do your job. But that means you ain't saying nothing. That's what that means. That means you're not saying nothing. You're not standing for Christ. Because when you stand for Christ, I stand for Christ. And I get all kinds of stuff on my job. I told my supervisor the other day, I said, let me ask you a question. Is this the enemy attacking me? See, because the world system talks about Christianity. But when the rubber hits the road, when you start talking like that, they're confused. I said, because I feel my name has been singled out by Satan. Is there an enemy in this? Know what she said? I think so. Okay. Pray. Pray for me. I'm talking to a Christian, so. Pray for me. See, just because you do good work, that doesn't mean that you're not being used. I mean, you ain't not being used. You know, you go to work thinking everybody like you. Everybody like me. I'm so nice. Everybody like me. They really like me. Talk about Jesus. Raise up Christ. Tell them what you stand for. Watch what happens. I told you about the lady that worried me every day. She came out every day to meet me. Every day she was out there until I talked about Jesus. Didn't see her no more. She went from every day to nothing. The enemy hates the Christ in you. Don't take it so personal. Don't think it's you. It's the Christ in you that draws the attention. Let your light shine and see what happens. See, you're glorifying God and not even knowing it. And the enemy is coming against you trying to put your light out. Oh, you don't have to do all that. You ain't got to say all that. You ain't got to walk like that. You don't have to talk like that. Trying to put your light out. God. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you now. This is as truthful as I can be. We are crucified in Christ. We are raised in Christ. We sit together with Christ. We reign with Christ. And listen to this. He's our redemption. That's what the scripture says. He's our redemption. Let's go to Colossians 1. I'm going to let y'all go in a few minutes. This is a mouthful. Yep. I want you to listen to this now. The more you struggle to detach yourself from the world, the more entangled you're going to become. The more you struggle, try to get free from it, the more you're going to be entangled in it. You got to learn how to trust the hope of glory that's in you. You got to learn to trust the hope of glory that's in you. Man, we be crying out so much. Oh, God, help me. Lord, I'm going through something. Help me stop doing this. Lord, help me, Lord. I need you, Lord. The same way you cry out to God like that, you should be repenting the same time. Lord, forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry. I made a serious mistake. I didn't say it the way that you would have said it, but you're in me, and I didn't let you say it. It wasn't you. It was you trying to detach yourself from the system, but it wasn't you that had the right to talk. And you got Christ on the inside of you, and very rarely do we call on him for assistance. Very rarely. We have Christ working on the inside of us and don't even utilize him. That means that the world system has you in a deluded place because you're trying to handle your situation yourself. And the more you try to do it yourself, the more entangled you become in the world system. The more tied up you become because you're trying to do it yourself. See, Christ is not in you so you can do it yourself. Lord have mercy. Christ is not in you so you can do it yourself. He's in you so that he can express himself through you. That's why we surrender. That's why we walk in abandonment. Because we're saying, I can't do it. Lord, you do it. Lord, you don't have to do this because I can't do it. The odds are against me. There are too many people fighting against me. I don't think I'm going to get the raise. There are too many people in front of me. I don't know if I'm going to get the job. There are too many people in line. I don't know, Lord. But the Lord was saying to you, let me do it. That's what the Bible calls resting. Resting in God. I'm resting because I'm letting God do this. I'm resting. Colossians. Did I say Colossians 1? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Colossians 1. Let's go to Colossians 1 and 13. Listen to this. For he delivered us from the domain or kingdom of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved or dear son or the son of his love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So you're redeemed. Redeem is the barrier that I was talking about earlier. Your redemption causes you to resist the system. Gives you power against the system. That's why the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. While we're going through this, let those who are redeemed, who are not going to submit themselves to the suffering of this system, say something. There's people all around you caught up in the system, and the redeemed won't say nothing. Let the redeemed say so. It's your barrier. It's your protection. It's your shield around you. I'm redeemed. Boy, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. Christ, my redeemer. He causes me to resist the world. He's my barrier of defense. Now, we have two more scriptures. John 15, we'll go there. Which we already probably talked about it anyway. But what's in you, I want you to understand that Christ in you arouses the world system. It applauds Christian fruit, but it opposes Christianity. Yeah. John 15. And we're going to close out in John 17. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody said, thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Sometimes we don't know it. You know, we don't know what our salvation costs. We don't know what's available to us. Thank you, Jesus. This tape will be available after service. Praise the Lord. I would advise you to get the tape. Hallelujah. Glory to God. John 15. Let's go to verse 19. Thank you, Lord. If you were of the world, he said, listen to what he says now. If, remember now, when he calls you out, he called you out ecclesia, he called you church. Mm-hmm. That's the call out. But now he calls us body of Christ because we have a heavenly connection and Christ dwelling on the inside of us so that we're able to live in a world that he called us out of. Called us out of it and gave us the strength and the power to live while we're in it.
That's right.
Yes. Oh, God. He wants us to live like we're from heaven. Yes. Don't lay claim to something on this earth. Yeah, your house is beautiful, but it ain't yours. Stop being so attached to stuff. We saw some folk on TV last night. They were filthy rich. Filthy, filthy rich billionaires. Lost every dime. They're selling pianos that cost $70,000 for $30,000. They're selling crystal glass that costs $125,000 for $30,000. They've lost everything. She sold her engagement and her wedding rings. Billionaires. Flat broke. Had their house on the market. They lost money so fast that they even pledged $5 million to a cause. And now they don't have no money. The people that they pledged to, fighting them teeth and lips and everything in vain, trying to get their vow. But you told us you were going to give it, so we're taking you to court. We won our $5 million pledge. They are broke. And while they're in there talking to her, they sent a lawyer to talk to her. And she was talking. You know what the man cut in front of her and said? Are you speaking English? She said, you hear me speaking, don't you understand? He said, well, no, let your answer be yes or no. Don't do no talking. Up one day, down the next. Stop laying claim to stuff here. Stop wearing your clothes so tight like you're going to stay here for a long time. This is not your home. You're just passing through. You're just passing through this earth. You're just a pilgrim. You're just passing through. Right now, you're just a tent. And a tent is made to be folded up and taken away. We like to hold on to stuff so tight as if we're going to stay here forever. No, you're not. Nothing, that, like the writer said, nothing I brought into the world, nothing shall I take away. You came here naked, you need to lead the same way. I've already began. I came here bald-headed. I'm just a pilgrim. I guarantee you I had some hair in heaven, though. Somebody say amen to that. Listen now. Jesus said this. He said, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore, because I chose you out of the world, therefore, because I chose you out of the world, therefore, the world hates you. The world hates you. Hate the Christ in you. Yeah. I'll try to figure out now. That's why I try to figure out, how can people who follow Christ in the Bible suffer so much persecution and we don't suffer nothing? Because we don't tell people about Christ. We don't stand up and make a declaration that it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. That I live for Christ. I don't care what y'all say. This is what you tell people in this world that you live in there. I don't care what y'all think, I'm serving Christ. Well, they might stone you. But You were called out for this. I'm called out to represent. Mm-hmm. We're going to close in John 17. Right around the corner. Let's start in verse 11. Now, this is really the Lord's Prayer. I know we talk about the Lord's Prayer in the Gospels, but this is the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew 6, we talk about our Father who art in heaven. We name that, and we call that the Lord's Prayer, but that's not the Lord's Prayer. That was a lesson. And so right here is the original Lord's Prayer. This is Jesus' prayer to the Father. Listen, starting in verse 11. And I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep them in thy name, the name which thou hast given me, that they may be one. Now he says, keep them in thy name, the name that you've given me. He's telling Father, keep them in Jesus' name. Keep them in Jesus' name. Amen. God Almighty. He said, that they may be one, even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in thy name, which thou hast given me. I was keeping them in Jesus' name. And I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world. Listen to this. That they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them. Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. The evil one, keep them from the system. Keep them from the satanic system. Lord Jesus. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. And as thou didst send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. Listen to Jesus talking about this inward work. And for their sake, I sanctify myself that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Oh, God. You are sanctified, and you are being sanctified. You are being sanctified from the inside. Jesus himself said, let me work in them. Let me sanctify them with myself. See, you have to have sanctification. You've already been justified. You've already been redeemed, but you need to be sanctified. Jesus said, let me sanctify myself in him. God Almighty. He wants to do this. Huh? He wants to do this as much as you want to do it. He wants to sanctify himself in us. Huh? Call out, saints. Call out to a greater work. With what God wants to do with you. That's why the scripture says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. You can't understand all of this, but you can by faith. When you get to a block and you say, I don't get it, by faith I receive it though. I receive it by faith. I receive it by faith, Lord. I trust that you're going to open this up to me, and he will. You are not of the world, but you're in it. Let's make the most of it while we're in it. Let's be a help to somebody. Let's be a light to the world. Huh? Can we be a light to the world? We're living in a dark place, but he's called us to be lights. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Oh, God.